In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So today we begin the pre-Lenten Sundays, the period in the church year called the Triodion, which is named after the book that contains all our Lenten and pre-Lenten hymns. The book is called the Triodion. And kicking off this season that won't conclude until Holy Saturday, May 4th this year, we are presented with a short parable contrasting two very different people. The publican, which is another name for a tax collector, and the Pharisee, a member of the strictest group of religious followers. And Jesus says in his little story that those two men went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, the ultra-religious man who did everything by the book, starts to pray about all the things he's done right. He looks over at the hated tax collector, that thieving traitor, and he says, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like ordinary people, and I'm especially glad I am not like that tax collector." Now, the tax collector, who, by the way, was a fraud, was a thief, was a collaborator with the enemy against his own people, and was way off the mark in his deeds, this tax collector stood in a corner, head bowed, and placed his hope in the mercy of God. And to the great anger of the actual religious Pharisees listening to the story, Jesus says the thieving, traitor, tax collector finds life while the religious guy is condemned. Condemned not for what he did, but condemned for judging others, for trusting in himself and his own religious deeds. Total flip from the outcome that would have been expected. Everyone listening would have expected the religious guy saved and the tax collector condemned. If I were to start a story with a bishop or a priest and a carjacker went into the church to pray, the average listener is not going to expect the carjacker to be praised by God and the priest condemned by the end of the story. But that's exactly what Jesus does in this parable. Now, what makes this even more interesting is the epistle selection that the church has chosen to pair with this gospel lesson. Paul had written to Timothy a warning, which Val read for us today. Timothy, Paul says, watch out. Watch out. Imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And these imposters Paul is talking about are within the church. He's not worried about the Romans on the outside. He's warning Timothy about the imposters, the troublemakers, the deceivers within the church. And he tells Timothy to watch out. And so then the natural follow-up question Timothy might ask would be, well, how do I recognize the imposters from the genuine? A person might be tempted to think the safe route is to follow the most religious, to follow the most fervent, the strictest, the most rigorous. But Paul doesn't say that. Paul does not say that. Paul says to Timothy and to us, he says, first look at my own life to Timothy. You know, I'm your mentor, look at my own life. And then he says, turn to the scriptures that you have had since your youth, and most importantly, turn to the life of Jesus Christ in whom you put your faith. And today the church doubles down by pairing this warning with the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, in which the strict religious follower ends up condemned and not saved, in which the strict rigorous person is, in the end, the imposter. Now it's interesting, if you search scriptures, throughout the whole Bible, only villains are ever described as strict. Nebuchadnezzar, Saul before his conversion, a group of zealot murderers in the book of Acts, with one exception. The only time any hero is called strict is when Jesus strictly tells someone he has healed not to publicize it. I don't want public credit for it, Jesus says. That's it. That's the only time a hero is ever called strict. Otherwise, it's always villains. So if not the religiously strict and rigorous, who are the genuine? Who are the genuine? I'll tell you a little story from our church history. In 1917, so a little over 100 years ago, in the chaos of the Russian Revolution, there was an election for the new Patriarch of Moscow. And there was great concern over who should lead the church during the turbulent times of the revolution. The names of three bishops were submitted for consideration. One named Anthony. He was considered the smartest, and he was certainly the most learned and scholarly. Another bishop named Arseny, who was the strictest, the most rigorous, the most disciplined, had the reputation for being the tough bishop. And then there was a bishop named Tikhon. He was known as the kindest. He was the teddy bear of bishops. When Tikhon's name was put forward, and this is in the minutes of the meetings, a bishop named Theodore objected, saying, "Tikhon is too soft-hearted. He's undignified because he's always smiling and laughing and joking. And he's an awful administrator. I've seen him late to more meetings because he stops to pet the cat." Which of these three do you think was the most genuinely orthodox? Well, the three names were put in a small gold box, which was placed in front of an icon of Christ, and liturgy was celebrated. After liturgy, a name was drawn. It was not the most scholarly bishop. It was not the strictest bishop. No, the will of God went with the kindest, the most soft-hearted. And when you think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, what do we have? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't hear educated. I don't hear rigorous or scholarly or strict. I hear love and joy and kindness and goodness. And don't misunderstand, history would show that Tikhon, he was no doormat. He was no pushover. It's just that love and kindness always came first, even towards his enemies. And this gets us back to Timothy's predicament. How do I tell the imposters from the genuine? We tell by what comes first in that person's life. And this doesn't mean every strict person is an imposter. You and I have probably both had strict coaches or teachers who are fantastic, who are just fantastic. But it's what comes first that matters. What it means is that rigorous is not the gospel. Rigor is a personality trait that's just part of their life. What comes first, what is the gospel, what is life, what is eternal life, is love, is kindness, is goodness, the qualities that live beyond the grave. And this, my friends, is the message the church presents to us to open this lengthy Lenten and Paschal season. Follow the genuine, or better yet, become the genuine. And the genuine is faith and patience and love. In other words, the inner qualities matter more than what's just on the surface. Remember the Savior's parable. The one who strictly followed outward religious practices, he ends up arrogant. He ends up judgmental and ultimately condemned. But the one who is way off the mark in deeds, he opened the depth of his heart to the love of God and to divine mercy. And this is the one that found life. Amen.